record since my internet's sporadic. Okay.
We're all set.
Okay. All right. Well, Sarah, I really want to welcome all of you to this webinar. This is an exciting time for us when we have this first webinar of the season, because it gives us a chance to realize that we've finished doing a lot of work and we found some great teachers and research teams, and it gets us all excited about what the possibilities are for the upcoming season. So we're glad that you have took the time to out of your day to join us. And we got a lot to cover in the next hour, so I'm not going to spend too much time on some of these initial things, but we wanted you to know that this platform we are using is one of the main tools that we use throughout the Polar Trek program. We have a license with the company Blackboard Collaborate, and this is the same platform that we use for all of our Polar Trek live events that we'll do from the field and things like that. So we use this platform quite a bit, so it's good that you guys get to be familiar with it. The content should be showing up and changing in the center of your screen. There's three different elements to this platform. There's audio and video. Today we're just using the audio portion, but if you did have a webcam, and sometimes we have done this for various events, the person that has the webcam's head or whatever they're showing would show up under the video. There's a list of participants, and within the list of participants, there's different ways you can let us know or show us that things are happening. You can raise your hand by clicking on the little hand icon, and that lets us know you have something you want to say. There's emoticons and all sorts of things going on there. It also lets us know if your mic is open, and if the mic is open and it's not closing, that's where Sarah and I take away your powers and give them back to you. Let you know who else is in the room. There's also a chat room down below that, and just to let you know, all of these little windows actually can detach and move around, so if you don't like where it's sitting, you can just grab the top bar and move it around and put it where you like. We do archive all of our events, and we send them out afterwards, so if you have to bug out for some reason or you get disconnected or whatever happens, we'll send you a link to the archive. And if you are joining us by phone and you got a lot of background noise, you can press *6 to mute it and *6 to unmute it. And did I miss anything, Sarah?
No, I think maybe a few people joined by phone. Did anybody join in while Janet was talking?
Yeah, yes. Paula.
Okay, Paula.
Glenn Clark also, sorry.
All right, perfect. Thanks, guys. Go ahead, Janet.
Okay. All right. So, the next piece is just kind of an overview of what we hope to cover in the next hour. We're going to give you an overview of the Polar Trek program itself. And a lot of this information is on the website already, and you're also, when you come to orientation, you'll get even more of it. And we're going to go over program requirements, talk a little bit about that, our program evaluation. And then the main focus of this whole webinar is a chance for you to start getting to know one another. Who's going out in the field this current year? Where people are going, and when their expected project is. So we want to go through all of our projects, and then of course we want to spend some time answering any questions that you might all have. So that's what we hope to cover. So a lot of talking at you during this presentation, including this next part. So if you have a question as we go along, please feel free to type it in the chat box. Just to give you a heads up, this is a picture of the Polar Trek team. I'm Janet talking, and Sarah's on the other line. And today I'm at home, and Sarah is back in the office. So we're both doing this from different places, but we both are based here in Fairbanks, Alaska. You'll get to know Julie Griswold, who at orientation, for those of you that are attending that, she was a former ARCUS employee and now doing contract work for us. So you may see emails from her about orientation in particular and traveling up here. Ronnie, our web guru, was thinking he might join today, but if he's not on, he is the master of the web, all things web and Polar Trek, and He's a great person to work with, and you will all, in one way or another, get to meet him at least virtually at an orientation, actually in person. And he lives outside of Anchorage in a community called Palmer, Palmer Wasilla. And he, Sarah Palin, is not his neighbor. And Zeb Pauly is our systems guy. He deals with all the computers and all the ins and outs of how things work behind the scenes. Again, if you're at orientation and get a chance to meet him, he's a true blue Alaskan, and his brother, Joed, is also does some side work with us, a lot of videography things for us, but he lives in Boston. And plus there's lots of others at our office, including our executive director, Susan Fox, who we hope that at one time or another, all of you will meet somewhere on the, down the road, either at orientation or at meetings around the world. Okay, that's real quickly who we are. So a little bit about where we get our support and funding. Again, a lot of this is on the website, and I'm sure many of you already know it. We're rehashing some things, but you know, this is a grant. This program is funded through a grant from the National Science Foundation Office of Polar Programs, and it ends in March of 2014. The grant is administered by ARCUS, the Arctic Research Consortium of the United States. And when you come to orientation, we'll talk a little bit more about that. But we're member-based, and our members come from all over the world. And we have a board of directors consisting mostly of scientists from all over the world. Funding and support for all the logistics is through government contracts through the National Science Foundation. And this year, for Arctic logistics, it's CH2M Hill Polar Services, and a new contractor, Lockheed Martin, will be supporting the Antarctica projects. And sometimes there's other funders like USGS or BLM or things that pertain to each individual project. But you don't. That's the general funding and support that we give for overall for the program. So, any questions so far? Yeah, like I said, this is a really interactive one. I'm just going to be talking at you here for a few minutes, so it's hard to look at everything in the chat. So, pipe in.
Yeah, if there's a question in chat, I'll answer that one. And you guys can try and find the spelling mistake on there. Sorry.
Okay. So the next piece is just a quick overview of the program. So what is Polar Trek? And we'll go into the goals and what our model looks like. Again, all of this is on the website. We'd be happy to address real, you know, get into some more nitty-gritty with it. But I think you all have a pretty good idea of what we are all about, which is sending teachers out into the field. And we've been doing this for quite a while. The program actually started in 2004 with a year-to-year program called TREK, where we just placed teachers in the Arctic. And then during the International Polar Year, we got 3 years' worth of funding to place teachers in the Arctic and the Antarctic. And then we're awarded some subsequent funding, which is what everybody is being funded by right now. And it's pretty exciting. We actually are presenting in 2 weeks at a conference in Boston. We'll get to evaluation in a little bit, but having the longevity of the program and sending teachers out with researchers, well, who knew it would be such a good thing? But no, we knew it was a good thing, and it's proving to be a fantastic opportunity for both teachers, researchers, and students. So with that, some of our goals are for teachers to obviously improve. Sarah, did the slide change? Are you there with me? Okay. Are to obviously have teachers learn more about science and what is happening in the science field and bringing that polar science back into the classroom. We also use this opportunity for researchers to learn more about the K-12 education system and maybe pick up teaching, you know, best teaching practices that a lot of researchers also teach usually in the college level. And so we hope that you pick up something there and can take that back into your classrooms that you work with and students. And then the biggest thing is we also want teachers to find an engaging science community, a science community that is willing to support them, to be there for ideas, to bounce facts off of, and just learn, get them tied into what's happening in research. And we're definitely finding that in all of our data. And then, of course, we want students and public to learn more about what is happening in the polar regions and become, hopefully, the future scientists in the polar regions. So those are some of our goals. And again, we have a lot of evaluation data that we'll share with you, not today, but in other ways along this year. So one of the things that we've put together when we did this grant was that we broke down Polar Trek into this model. And this is just kind of a visual representation of what we see Polar Trek or how we see Polar Trek and how we divide things up. Of course, the core is the teacher research experience. That's in the middle of that little wheel. But it also has all these different little parts. It's supported by the hands-on field research experience. It's supported by tools to help you disseminate this experience into the classroom and to the public. And it's also supported with some funding and mentors and some other activities to hopefully make this a sustainable learning experience, not just a one-time deal. And so that's one of the things behind Polar Trek, is that this isn't just a one-time deal. You just go out in the field and that's the end of it. We actually build a lot of things both before, during, and after the field experience, and hopefully this is a professional development change in how teachers do teach science in their classroom, not just a field experience. So if you didn't sign on for that, you're in the wrong program. Too late now. I'm just kidding. Okay. Kind of hard just talking to myself out here. That's what it feels right now.
You're doing a great job.
There, woo. Okay, so program requirements. Again, we're just reiterating some things here. And you sent some of this out already. I was gone, so I don't know what Sarah sent to you. Did the research in the packet get it?
So I have sent a little bit of the program requirements to some of the folks that are heading out early on expeditions in April, but the rest of you will be seeing most of this when you get to orientation. Maybe we'll give you a few tidbits before that, but
that's okay. Okay. So, we have a lot of details that go into this and a lot of before, during, and after. That's kind of how we have your expedition, and we've kind of, just for management purposes, broke it up into before you go out, while you're out in the field, and after you return, so that we can all kind of think about it in those terms. And so we have a lot of deliverables, and we have checklists and things like that to help everybody get along. And this isn't, the teachers have a bulk of their responsibility, and most of the deliverables lies on their plate, but they can't do that without the researchers' input in some of these areas. And so there's one of the things that we put together with the program requirements is we kind of split it down where the teachers, it shows what the task is, what the teachers do, and what the researcher's responsibility is or response towards that task. And sometimes there's training, and sometimes there's a very important part. So like I said, for the researchers, did you end up sending the researchers one out to them, Sarah?
Yeah, so Seth was mentioning that it's really nice to be able to see. So I will definitely kind of include the important pieces, if not all of it, for the research teams this year to get a better focus on what the teachers are up to.
Okay. Yeah, sorry, I haven't had a chance to talk about what was in the packets while I was gone. So that's good, because I think this way you'll be able to see what the teachers have to do, and then where you fit in as a research team and where you can support them best. So during the orientation, we go into this quite in depth, but we do have an education outreach plan, and you know, every year it seems to morph a little bit depending for the teachers on what this looks like, and sometimes we add or tweak things just a little bit. But the idea is that we have tools and templates and some activities to help create a plan of how you'd use the experience. And the plan serves two purposes. The plan is for so you have a plan on how you're going to use this experience. It's documented. But the other piece is that it feeds back into our funders and our evaluator, and it provides some tangible documentation of what you're going to do with this experience. And so during the orientation, we'll dive into the plan a little bit more in depth. And but at each of these different activities and different groups of people you target, there's definitely roles for the research team, and they have more of a role than other things. And for instance, just to give you an idea, like we'll go into more of this later on, it says the teacher researcher networking plan. That's something that is basically, it's a communication plan. How do you want to talk and relay information back and forth to one another? And that obviously involves communication with your research team and feedback from both sides. So that's a piece that obviously everybody will be involved in creating. And then other things are more self-reflection. So some of the things that we do before and during and after are we also have phone calls and webinars. We have, I think there's a timeline coming up here in a little bit, but there we are. the phone calls and webinar timeline, this is just a, you know, this is a fluid timeline. This is our target. But basically we have the meet and greet, which you are on right now. That's the webinar, and that's where we expect all the participants. Webinar 2 and two webinars that happen in spring and later in the summer ones for the Arctic teachers and ones for Antarctic teachers, and that's to go over more of the logistics and kind of get you geared up for your season. And then we have wrap-ups of those. This year, for instance, we didn't end up having a wrap-up for the Arctic and the Antarctic teachers, but we're going to have the season wrap-up for all participants. So some of these things, you know, we'll keep you posted on it, but we do all of our communications and try to help you work through the process through phone calls and webinars. Every team will have a pre-filled phone call and at least one and a post-filled call. Sometimes the pre-filled, we may end up having two depending on how complicated the logistics are. And the pre-filled and post-filled usually involve the teacher, the researcher or researchers, whoever you want involved from your team, a logistics provider representative, us at ARCUS, and sometimes we have a mentor teacher, a teacher that's been to that same field situation or in a similar circumstance, at least join the pre-field call to provide feedback to the teacher. So those are some of the things to look forward to, and I know a couple of you that are leaving in April, we've already started that process with you. The other major component that we have of Polar Trek is our program evaluation. For those of you attending the orientation, you will get to meet Angela Larson of Goldstream Group. She's based here in Fairbanks, Alaska. And she's been working on us since the beginning on collecting data, and evaluation is a very, very important part of our process. It's where we get our data and it's how we justify this program. And we will have this year, all the teachers will be getting a pre-test before you go to come to Fairbanks for the orientation. We'll, you know, of course, we'll notify you by email about all this, but it's a web-based. She does all of her pre-tests and post-tests and everything in SurveyMonkey. And we'll send you the link, and you'll have time to do it before you come to orientation. And it is actually a test. We've asked all the researchers when they applied to their program to provide us four or five questions of what they thought a teacher should learn through their expedition. And you hope you don't need to know the answer, of course. It's just to get a gauge to see if you've learned anything while you were out there in the field. And then the other piece about our evaluation, and again, we'll go more in depth in this during orientation, but everybody should know we also survey classrooms, but this is done by the teachers. And we send out links to you at the beginning of the school year and at the end of the school year to see how or what your students have learned about the polar regions over the school year. And then researchers aren't out of this either. Researchers take a post-survey. It's actually kind of a more of an informal survey, a program survey. It's not like a test or anything about polar science, about how your experience went and everything, usually in the spring, and that will happen in the spring of 2014 for this group of teachers and researchers. Okay, so that's just a really, really, really quick summary of the program and kind of timeline that we work with. Any questions before we go on to projects and participants? So Ken has a question about, can student survey be done before next fall? I will be working with the same group of students next year. The answer is no. We're going to have, we start in the fall. It doesn't, if your students have been exposed to it before, that's okay. But Angela likes to have the data all in the same school year. So it's okay. And I can't read the other one fast enough, so I'm going to move on.
Yeah, Obed is just saying hi and just saying how excited he is to be part of the program and that kind of thing, so I'll let you read them.
Okay. Well, we're glad you're here with us, too. Okay, so this year we have lots of projects and participants. You can see the stars. The yellow stars are the current years, and I believe the white stars are the past years. So there's some commonality, but there's also some new places, both in the Arctic and the Antarctic. And the next slide is just a really quick snippet of our projects and what we think the timeline of it's going to look like. Again, when you come to Fairbanks or as we approach the orientation, we will send out we'll send out an updated copy of this, and we actually produce a flyer with names and faces and stars and all sorts of stuff that we send out to both the research team and to the teachers, usually just before orientation. One thing that I wanted to relay to all of you before you start talking here is that each of you has a project page that will be going up on the website, and that currently is that work is being done by a contract, Katie Breen, and some of you, especially the researchers, or well, some of you might have gotten emails from her for clarification or different things about the project pages. And I know everybody who sent in bios and photos that needed to do that. So those should be launched here pretty soon, probably in the next couple weeks. And for the teams that are leaving right after the orientation in early April, you are our priority so that you will have time to do outreach and do journaling and learn some of the mechanics of using the website. So just wanted to let you know that that's already in the works and going on. And we can, yes, send you a, Obed was wondering if this can be a PDF. We can send you a PDF that you can use, Obed. So, okay. So, Sarah, you want to take on this part?
Yeah, sure, I will. So this is a chance for all of you to get to say hello and tell us where you are and what you're up to. We'll start with all the teachers and kind of go down the list and then and maybe turn it over to the research teams after that just to make sure we can try and get through everybody. We'll give this about, about 20 minutes or so, so we leave some time for questions. Oh, great, we're just having Kristen O'Brien meet up with us, so she's right on time. So we'll start with the teachers. We'll start with folks going to the Arctic. If you can give us just a quick, you know, where you are, your name, your school, and one thing you're looking forward to. And then on the next slide, I'll show you, I've listed you up there with where you happen to be going and the researcher, and we'll kind of make those connections as we go. So I know it takes a minute to get set up with your microphone, so maybe we'll start with Mark. If you're ready, go ahead and use your mic.
Hi, I'm Mark Busing. I teach at physics at Libertyville High School in Libertyville, Illinois, which is about 45 minutes northwest of Chicago. The one thing I'm looking forward to is being a member of the NASA research team and being able to bring that experience back to my students and inspire them to be the next generation researchers and scientists.
All right, perfect. So we will go by teams, and I think we have George Hale, if you want to give us an idea of where you are and just a sentence or two about the project and where you guys are headed.
Okay, I'm George Hale. I'm the Science Outreach Coordinator for Operation IceBridge. I'm out at the NASA Goddard Space Flight Center in Greenland, Greenbelt, Maryland. We're going to be flying to Greenland in April. The mission is an airborne science mission to measure Earth's polar ice, so we're kind of monitoring changes in ice surface elevation and looking through different layerings of sea ice and land ice with a bunch of different instruments.
Great. We'll go down the list here. We've got Eleanor or Nell Kemp. Go ahead.
Hello?
Hello, is that Nell? All right, Nell, we'll come back to you if you can hear me. We'll come back to you. And maybe we have Jamie out there. Jamie? Janet, can you hear Jamie? He's got his microphone on.
No, I'm not hearing him.
Not to worry. So, Jamie, we can't quite hear you. I am going to turn your microphone off. All right. Try it again. Go ahead. All right, I'm turning your microphone off, Jamie. Sorry about that. It doesn't seem to be working. But maybe we'll go to Lynn Reed at the top, and we'll come back to Nell and Jamie in a little bit and see what we can do. Go ahead, Lynn.
Okay, I'm the Einstein Fellow for this year in the Office of Polar Programs at National Science Foundation, and I'm a mathematics teacher from Richmond, Virginia. I'll be going to Greenland with a group of students. There'll be five U.S. students, and we'll be joined by three Danish students and about 10 Greenlandic students, and we'll be working in the Kangar area of Greenland for field science for about 10 days to 2 weeks, and then the smaller group of the students will go up to the ice sheet at Summit Station. And the idea is for them to work alongside researchers to try to get a better idea of the breadth of polar research and science that's going on. It's also multicultural, and the Greenlandic students work on their English skills.
Thanks, Lynn. Perfect. So her position is a little bit different from a regular polar trek teacher, but she's going to be doing the same kind of journaling. We hope to have her up at orientation as well. So she's part of this cohort, but her work is a little bit different. And one thing that was going through the chat box that anybody who's on the phone didn't see is that George Hale was mentioning that he got a really neat activity from Mark recently, so they're excited about that. And we did send a teacher out on the Greenland expedition with NASA last year, so you might find journals on the website about that. So I'm going to turn it over to Alicia. Alicia, are you there?
I'm here. This is Alicia Gillian. I'm from Tulsa, Oklahoma, so very far from the Arctic. I'm most excited about learning about an area that I know nothing about. The Arctic is very different from Oklahoma. I'm excited about learning about a region that neither my students nor I know much about. I work with fifth and sixth grade students. I'm a media specialist. I work with about 650 kids a year. So very excited for this opportunity.
Yeah, Yeah, you've got a pretty unique position for one of our programs this year, so it's exciting that you're reaching that many different students in that position. So, Corey Williams, I'll turn it over to you. It looks like Corey's working on the audio wizard, so we'll come back to Corey. Or, let's see, Corey, are you ready?
Can you hear me now?
Yes, go ahead. Yes,
okay, go ahead. So I'm Corey Williams. I'm a postdoc at the University of Alaska, Anchorage, and I'm working with a group from here at UAA, as well as the University of Alaska Fairbanks and Michigan State University, and we're studying Arctic ground squirrels, and essentially the main focus of the project is trying to understand how Arctic ground squirrels are able to maintain circadian rhythms in the Arctic environment when it's light 24 hours a day, and why they do this. So we're looking at why do they have this, you know, regular pattern of activity during the midday when they could be active at any time because there's light available at any time. And then we're also studying them during hibernation to understand what happens to circadian rhythms when they enter hibernation. How do they emerge from hibernation? Do circadian rhythms play a role in sort of this annual timing?
Right, thanks, Corey. As we go through the Arctic expeditions, you'll see that a couple people are going to Tulik Field Station. And so there's a lot of different projects going on all summer long. So you'll see that one come up again. So we're going to move on to Tom Lane. Go ahead.
Hi, I'm Tom Lane. I teach high school science at Bellows Tree Academy in Fairfax, Vermont. And I'm really looking forward to working directly in the field with Elizabeth and Healy and communicating this experience and the science to my students, my community, and the Polar Trek audience at large.
Perfect. Thanks, Tom. And I think we've got Elizabeth Webb on here. Go right ahead.
Hi, I'm Elizabeth, and I'm really excited to work with Tom. I work up in Keeley, Alaska, so interior, pretty close to Denali National Park. And we're working on the carbon balance of the tundra, trying to figure out how much carbon is coming in and out on an annual basis. And specifically, my work focuses on what's happening during the winter.
Thanks, Elizabeth. She's been working with us for a couple of years and has worked with John Wood in the past, so you might see journals on the Polar Trek website from that expedition. Before we leave this page, I saw Jamie trying to work out his microphone. Jamie, do you want to try it out? Oh, man. We can tell that you're using your microphone, but we can't hear you. Janet, I don't know if you have any ideas of how to fix that one. But maybe what we'll do is we'll turn it over to Neil to talk about the project. So I'm going to turn off Jamie's microphone here for a second and let Neil take over.
Hopefully you all can hear me. I'm a glacial geomorphologist at Iowa State University. We're going to be working in front of an outlet glacier in the central highlands of Iceland. It's a glacier called Múlajökull, and it's retreated quite rapidly in recent years, and it's left in its wake a field of very enigmatic landforms that we call drumlins, and these are streamlined hills and that have been studied for a long, long time, and nobody really knows how they form. And so we think we can learn some things in this place where we actually know what the glacier was doing when it was making these drumlins not that long ago. And we'll be camping there for the better part of a month, and we're really happy to have Jamie on board with us.
All right. So, Jamie, go ahead. You get your microphone on and try it.
Right. Not sure. Sorry about that, Jamie. Oh, looks like you're typing now. Well, I'm sure Jamie won't be this quiet out in the field. All right. Nell, you want to go ahead and try your microphone, see if it's working?
Sure. Can you hear me now?
Hello? Yes, go ahead.
Yep, okay. Hi, this is Nell Kemp. I am a 7th grade science teacher in Chicago, Illinois. And I am super excited to go to Alaska because I actually talk about the tundra in my classes. So I'm excited to be able to bring real science back into my classroom for my students.
Great. Perfect. Thank you.
All right, and I know we have Amanda Colts on here. Go ahead.
Hi, everyone. Can you hear me? Okay. Great. I'm Amanda. I'm a PhD student at Duke University, the project that Nell is going to be working on with us is being done in the Arctic tundra, also near Tulik Lake, Alaska, and in a few sites around there. The project is focused on the role of wolf spiders in Arctic ecosystems. And the reason I'm interested in these Arctic wolf spiders is that in terms of biomass, they're by far the most abundant predators in the Arctic tundra. And so the goals of the project are to determine what the wolf spiders are eating and whether the predation effects of these spiders could cascade down through the food web to affect ecosystem processes like decomposition. So we're exploring the ecological role of the spiders through sampling spiders in a bunch of different locations and also through a manipulative experiment. And so as Janet wrote, I was really lucky to host another Polar Trek teacher last year, Nick LaFave, and it was a really great experience. So I'm looking forward to having Nell join us this year.
Perfect. Thanks. All right, we're going to jump to the next slide. We've got lots of Arctic expeditions this year. So, Carol, I know you signed on. Do you want to see if your microphone's working?
There, this is Carol.
I see you typing.
From Fairbanks, Alaska.
I see you typing.
Go ahead. Oh, I started typing. Can you hear me?
Go ahead.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we hear you. Whoop, Carol, we don't hear you. So if we press the talk button one more time. There you go. We got you opposite now. Press it once and go.
Okay, is it going now? How about now?
Yes. Just go ahead and leave it on and talk, Carol. You got it. All right. Sorry, Carol. We've got you backwards maybe. We're hitting it on and off. So I don't know if you're typing over there. All right, Carol, we'll come back to you, okay? We'll come right back in a second. We'll try Andrea. Andrea, are you out there?
Yes. I'm Andrea Sploss. I teach 7th and 8th grade science. Okay. Can you hear me? Okay, I'm in Port Aransas, Texas, which is on a Mustang Island 30 miles south of Corpus Christi, Texas. And one thing that I would like to do with my students is to increase the awareness to the impacts of climate change on the environment.
Great. Thanks, Andrea.
So the researcher that Andrew's working with is Ken Dunton, and he couldn't make the call today. He's got a couple of different commitments going. But he and Jill Smith, who I think we'll talk with in just a second, are doing expeditions with Ken. They're from the same area down there in Texas. And so as it says there on the screen, Andrea is going to be on the Coast Guard Cutter Healy and heading out to the Chukchi Sea. And Jill is going up to Kaktovik, Alaska. And both projects are going to be related to looking at carbon sources in food webs in the Chukchi Sea and the Beaufort Sea. So forgive me if I don't have enough detail for everybody on the project, but he's expecting that the teachers can use the themes in his expedition, working with primary producers, trophic levels in the ecosystem, the effects of disturbance, both physical and chemical, and also climate change. So those are kind of the real key pieces of what he's up to, and we'll be hearing more about that expedition from the overview pages. So I will turn it over to Bruce if you want to say hi.
Hi, I'm Bruce Tatterka. I teach high school science, environmental science in Mendham, New Jersey, which is about 40 miles west of New York City. I'm really excited to get up to Alaska and just get a lot of hands-on experience and learn and take pictures and video that I can bring back to my class and get my students excited. And it sounds like there's going to be a lot going on at Tulik, so that's going to be fun. And I'm also looking forward to taking a mountain bike ride on the tundra. So that's going to be good.
Sounds fun. Good. I'm going to turn out. Oh, you got your microphone off. Perfect. And I believe we have Rose Corey, whom he's working with. Go ahead, Rose.
Hi. Rose Corey here. I'm at the University of North Carolina in Chapel Hill, and we're looking at the fate of the carbon that's been stored in the permafrost soils for thousands of years, and now with the permafrost thawing, that carbon that has been frozen and unable to participate in the carbon cycle is being released to the surface. And so we're specifically looking at how sunlight affects how and how fast that carbon may be turned into carbon dioxide and released back to the atmosphere at Tulik.
Perfect. Thanks, Rose. Please turn your microphone off. Perfect. Thanks, Rose. And we'll look at the next column here and turn it over to Ken Williams. Go right ahead.
Hi, everybody. I'm Ken Williams from Nobleboro Central School, which is in Nobleboro, Maine, along the mid-coast. And if you're familiar with the Maine coast, it's the lighthouse that's on the Maine 25-cent piece. The quarter is right near where I live and right near Nobleboro. I'm a middle school teacher, and it's a real small school with 130 students, K-8, which means I'm actually just thrilled with the outreach possibilities. It's just small-town America. And there's just a lot of people all about town talking about what's going on. I see people in the grocery store, and they're saying, saw you in the newspaper. And on top of this, this scientist is a former student of mine who went to Nobleboro School 25 years ago or so. And so there's just a big oh, wow factor for us in Nobleboro and in our general region because of just the opportunity that I have with Seth. And we've also we've already met and planned because he's in New Hampshire, I'm in Maine, and we're just sort of firing up on all cylinders here. It's good. It's just going to be a lot of fun.
Great. Thanks, Ken. And I'll turn it over to Seth, he just mentioned.
Cool. Hi, everybody. I'm Seth Nampel. I am a PhD candidate at University of Maine, and I also work for the Cold Regions Research and Engineering Lab in Hanover, New Hampshire. And the project that we're working on is a project to recover a ice core from a plateau situated between the north and south peak of Mount Hunter in Denali National Park. So what this entails is we fly into Denali and land on the glacier, and we actually climb from about 7,000 feet up to about 14,000 feet to acclimatize to the elevation, and then we get transported to this drill site to drill this ice core, which we hope we can gain a climate record over the past 1,000 to 5,000 years. So as Ken said, Ken was my past grade school science teacher. So this has been a pretty cool opportunity for both of us to get involved in this. I've been doing a bunch of outreach with Ken over the years, and we've always wanted to try to do something like this. And when PolarTrack came up, we thought it was a perfect opportunity to go after it. So like I said, we're psyched to be involved with this project and looking forward to PolarTrack working with us.
Great. Thanks, Seth. And we'll turn it over to Jill. Go right ahead.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Yeah, speak up a little bit.
Okay, no problem. My name is Jill Smith. I teach high school science in a small district on the Texas coast, same one as Andrea's class. I am very much looking forward to this experience of the research aspect, the multicultural, sharing some time with the Native Alaskans up there, and bringing it all home to when I get back.
Thanks, Jill. And again, she'll be working with Ken that I mentioned earlier. So these are the Arctic expeditions. Let me jump back to Carol. Go ahead and press talk, and we'll let you go.
Okay, is this working? Not yet, huh?
Yeah.
It is working?
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
So you can hear me now?
Yes.
Can you hear me now? Sorry.
Yeah.
I'm Carol Scott from Fairbanks, Alaska. I teach at Randy Smith Middle School Science here in town. Really looking forward to going to Finland with Kim Miller, looking at carbon dioxide and methane exchange. And I'm particularly excited to be working on polar science outside of Alaska and bring that back to my students, because they all think Alaska's pretty ho-hum, and what's the big deal about this climate thing anyway? And considering how cold it is in Fairbanks today, they're really looking forward to climate change. And so to bring back to them that this is a worldwide issue, I'm just super excited about.
Thanks, Carol. That was perfect. All right. And Kim is actually already in Finland, and so it is some ungodly hour there, so she's not calling in right now. But as Carol was mentioning, they'll be out in the Finnish Arctic wetlands studying climate change and methane emissions and carbon cycling dynamics. And she has been working already up in Barrow, Alaska, in the tundra there, and she worked with Elliot Friedman, who also was hosting a Polar Trek teacher last year and the year before. So they're pretty familiar with our program, and she's taken on a project of her own in Finland and asked Carol to come along with her. So it'll be a pretty neat expedition. But sunny, Janet says. Yeah, it's sunny today, but boy, is it a cold one. You're right, Carol. I'm sure climate change will be interesting for your students up here in Alaska. So I'm going to turn it over to the Antarctic teachers and expeditions. And we've got a few expeditions going to Antarctica. Unfortunately, Yamini Bala couldn't join us today. I don't think she's on. Am I right? Yep, she's not here. But she's out in Illinois, in Oak Brook is the city, and she teaches at an alternative high school that was founded about 40 years ago by a group of community activists in response to the research finding that over 70% of Puerto Rican youth dropped out of high school. So that's who they're serving, particularly in their school. And I know we do have Erin Pettit on here and can talk a little bit more about the project. Go ahead, Erin.
Hi, everybody. This is Erin Pettit, and I'm at the University of Alaska Fairbanks. We will be taking Yamini with us on our trip to the Waste Divide, which is where they're just finishing up a deep drilling project for ice core research for paleoclimate. And what we're going to do is going in after they finish the ice core, and we use the hole that's left over from after the ice cores drilled to get further information on what's going on down there. So we lower instruments into the hole on a winch all the way down to the bottom of the ice, and we can use different types of instruments to study the ice. And we'll be using mostly acoustic instruments in this case, but we want to look at details of how the ice microstructure affects ice deformation, which is really critical to interpreting the right paleoclimate record from the ice. Because as the ice gets squished differently, then you might end up with a different climate signal. So you have to understand that squeezing of the ice in order to get the climate signal back out properly. So we're very excited to have you, Mimi, on our team.
Thanks, Erin. All right, and I'm going to turn it over to Glenn.
Hi, I'm Glenn Clark from Parrishville Hopkinton Central School. It's in northern New York, straddling the Adirondack Mountains and the St. Lawrence River. I teach wilderness studies and high school biology. I've known Amy for a while, and I'm excited that she gave me a chance to do this opportunity. And I'm looking forward to not only collaborating with my school, but also with a couple of colleges in the area and a public radio station in the area, which services two states as well as two provinces in Canada. So we're really looking forward to trying to get the word out about climate change. So thanks.
Thanks, Glenn. Perfect. And in place of Amy today, we have Bruce Huber. Would you like to talk?
Hi, this is Bruce. Amy couldn't make it, so she asked me to stand in. We're going to be taking Glenn down to Antarctica on the RV Palmer, not the Gould as it says on the slide there. Palmer is the bigger sister of the Gould. That's quite all right. We're going to be studying the interaction between the Antarctic ice glacial and oceanographic setting in an area which is sensitive to climate change because it's so close to the warm circumpolar deep water that's circulating around Antarctica. We're very excited to have Glenn along, and we're a team of six using a lot of different techniques to make this study, including physical oceanography, glaciology, and geology, because we want to know not only the modern setting, but the recent geological setting of how the glaciers, the ocean interact.
Perfect. Thanks, Bruce. Appreciate it. And we're going to go to Paula Dell. Go ahead, Paula.
Hi. I'm on the phone. Can you hear me?
Yes, go ahead.
Oh, okay. I'm going down to Palmer Station with Kristen O'Brien and Lisa Crockett. They primarily study ice fish, which are these really amazing fish with no hemoglobin, and in particular they're looking at how the rising temperatures in the West Antarctic Peninsula affects these fish without the hemoglobin and looking at heat shock proteins. I'm really excited because my students are trying to build a little ROV, a remote operated vehicle, that we're going to bring down, and we'll use it to lower it down and survey the seafloor to see where these fish might be.
Thanks, Paula. And Janet's mentioning that Kristen and Paula have worked together already, and this will be their second trip down. So Kristen O'Brien, go ahead. I think we have Kristen.
Hi. Can you hear me okay?
Yep, a little louder, and you're fine.
Okay. Okay, how's that?
Perfect.
Okay. Hi, I'm Kristen O'Brien. I'm faculty member at the University of Alaska in Fairbanks. And as was mentioned, we had the tremendous opportunity that Paula joined us for our field season in 2011, and she'll be coming along with us again in 2013. So I work on a collaborative project with Lisa Crockett at Ohio University, and we study these really remarkable group of fishes that only live in the Antarctic. They're called Antarctic ice fish, and they earn that name because they're unique among vertebrates because they don't have the oxygen-carrying protein hemoglobin, which is what makes our blood red. So we're interested in many questions related to the physiology of these organisms. One is their thermal tolerance, and because the Western Antarctic Peninsula where they live is rapidly warming, we're interested in whether or not these animals will be able to survive at warmer temperatures.
This season, we're also investigating whether or not there might be an advantage to being an ice fish over being a red-blooded fish. So up until now, the central dogma has been that the loss of hemoglobin is a neutral mutation. It doesn't benefit these animals, but nor is it deleterious. But we've collected some preliminary evidence suggesting that there might be an advantage to not having the oxygen-carrying hemoglobin, because hemoglobin is an iron-containing protein, and iron proteins promote the formation of oxygen-free radicals, which can damage many of our cellular macromolecules. So that's one more additional study that we will be pursuing this field season. And again, I'm really thrilled that Paula can join us again and we can continue our collaboration.
Thanks, Kristen. All right, and I think Obed, your microphone is working. Go ahead.
Hi, folks. This is Obed Fulker. I'm a bilingual special education teacher in Washington Heights, New York City, right here up in the Northeast. I'm excited to be part of this program. I was a NOAA Teacher C alumni in 2010. I spent 22 days on board the Oscar Dyson on the Bering Sea, and I'm excited to head to the South. My students are very excited, family members, people overseas in my country, Dominican Republic also, and even people in Turkey are also inquiring and going to be, learning about this. I'm planning to have a blog, like I did before, journals, bilingual, by the way. I teach to a whole bunch of 6th, 7th, and 8th graders, ELS, English language learners, mostly from Dominican Republic, Mexico, and Ecuador. And I'm going to be heading with Jim Madsen's team of the Ice Cube Telescope Project. And what I'm looking forward to get from Polartrek is to not only get my students excited about polar research and Antarctic research, but also to enthuse them about pursuing careers, basically, become scientists themselves, to bring more minorities, more people of color into the field. And honestly, I was yesterday in a conference here at Columbia University. There was a room full of folks, local folks, very concerned about climate change. And when I made the announcement that I was heading down there, they were very excited. And after the Sandy storm, climate change is more into people's mind, and people are really interested and concerned. So I'm very excited to be part of this. Thank you.
Thank you, Robin. And we'll go to Jim Madsen. Okay, go ahead, Jim. All right, Jim, you can press talk. We're not hearing you if you are speaking.
Okay. How about now?
I hear you now.
All right, sorry. I clicked once and then it didn't come on. So, I'm Jim Madsen. I'm a physics professor at University of Wisconsin River Falls, where I'm the chair of the physics department. And I do that kind of half time. And then I'm also the associate director of the Ice Cube projects and a new center that was formed at UW-Madison called the Wisconsin Ice Cube Particle Astrophysics Center, where I head the education and outreach efforts. And so basically, what we specialize in are looking for either big explosions or strange stuff in the universe. So it's the kind of the buzzword is the astro particle physics. So rather than accelerating particles here on Earth, we let nature do it for us, and then we try to figure out what's going on there. And so the Ice Cube project is, we like to say, the biggest and strangest telescope ever made. We actually use the ice, which is about 2,800 meters thick down at the South Pole, to make the biggest single detector that's ever been constructed anywhere. And what makes it so strange is we actually look for particles that have come all the way through the Earth, called neutrinos. So we have a few other projects at the South Pole that are in the more formative stages, and so Obid may get to work on some of those as well. One is looks for very high energy neutrinos, and another one looks for dark matter. So we're very excited to have Obid with us, and looking forward to a very productive year.
Perfect. Thanks, Jim. And we'll pass it on to Justin. You're on. Go ahead.
Yes, hi. Coming to you from Flagstaff, Arizona, and got some visitors. So I teach at a middle school here in Flagstaff, and we teach with an emphasis on the Colorado Plateau, so a little bit different than a normal middle school experience. I'm looking forward to collaborating with all these other great teachers and instructors and bringing my students just a little bit different experience. And I believe Egbert had another obligation, so I'll tell you a little bit about the research that's going on. We're going to be looking for microbes in the soil and trying to determine which microbes are native to the area, if any, and which are most active.
Hello, I am here.
Perfect. Thank you. Really appreciate you. Oh, is that Edward? Go ahead. Yeah, if that was
yes, I am
talking,
here.
Go ahead and press talk one more time.
But Justin did a great.
Great. Go right ahead.
A great job introducing our project.
The lag gets us. Go ahead, Egbert, press it one more time.
So we are going to the McMurdo Dry Valleys, which is an important place because it is one of the better proxies on Earth for Mars. And so microbiologists are very excited to study microorganisms there. It's a very cold and dry place. We have developed a technique to label the DNA of growing microorganisms in soil, and so we are going to go down to Antarctica and bring some 18-0 water with us, and we're going to try to label the DNA of growing microorganisms in the soil there. Even though microorganisms have been detected there, we are not sure if they are blowing in on the dust or if they're growing there, and so this will answer if indeed they are growing in Antarctica soils.
Thanks, Egbert. All right. So that is all the different expeditions. I really appreciate you all taking a moment to be able to listen to one another and find out what the projects are. I really appreciate that, and it gives us a better idea of where you all are coming from and kind of building our team. So we have just a few more slides. We're doing pretty good here. A few closing thoughts and next steps. So. We've got a lot of text here, but I'll just go through on how to succeed with Polar Trek. One of the most important things is communicate. So between your teams, make sure that you're communicating all the important information and don't leave any stone unturned. So communicate with each other about particular dates that are coming up, any sort of, for Antarctica folks, your researchers might talk to you about the physical qualifications, that kind of stuff. So make sure that you are communicating with your team as well as with Janet and I. So if you end up finding out that expedition dates have changed or you guys want to try and meet up at a conference, just let us know. We're able to help participate in that, and I'll talk about that in a second. So outreach plans that are important to talk to researchers about. So teachers, you might have a lot of great ideas about what you want to do with the expedition. So run those by your research team so they get an idea of what it is that you'd like to do with your project. And again, just definitely let us know if you need anything from us here at ARCUS, Janet and I, or anyone else. Julie as well, you've been probably talking to her teachers via email, so just let her know if you have any questions. Again, also be flexible. It's really important that, you know, things do change day to day and month to month. Again, like expedition dates are a good one, and when you might be able to, you know, get this piece of information. Be flexible about it, but let us know if you have any questions. All right, and the research comes first. So when you're out there in the field, you're working with your team, you've got all these outreach ideas, but make sure you know that you're really going to be one of the research assistants. Be a sponge. Learn as much as you can about the science, because, of course, that's what you're planning to share when you get back and while you're in the field. And as Janet's written in here, not all field work is sexy. So you might be waiting for a gas analyzer to do what it does for a couple of minutes here and there, and you just have to have patience and be flexible and roll with the punches while you're out in the field. The next thing, make sacrifices to meet goals. Well, there are definitely going to be times where you need to work, maybe a 12-hour field day, or it might not be as fun, it might be a little cold outside. Of course, keep yourself safe and healthy. Your teams will always be stressing that, and maybe even the teachers might help remind that to the research teams. But make sure that you're able to sacrifice some of those things in terms of being a little bit cold to get the work done out there in the polar regions. And then I'll bring it down to that next one. Bring your unique skills to the team. So some of you in your interview calls, you are able to convey, you know, maybe you've got a sense of humor or your positive attitude or special skills or strengths that you have. Researchers are bringing you teachers in on the team because they're interested in sharing their work with you, your community, and your students. So you do have some special strengths to bring there. And researchers, of course, you have much more than just your research to share. Janet, anything else you want to add on this slide?
No, I said so, communication is the key to all of this, really. So if something's not going the way you wanted it or whatever isn't happening, or you just need to communicate that to us and to your team. And during the orientation, we'll talk more about how that works in the field and all that kind of stuff, too, and give you some tips and pointers about that as well.
Great. So this next one, the National Science Foundation hopes for Polar Trek, and Mark, this includes the NASA projects too. We want to make sure that we're meeting the goals of why we were funded to do this project, which, you know, is of course in line with why you all applied. But conveying the research experience to K-12 classrooms, sharing the experience of being an educator, developing the long-term relationship between you and your team, and that's one of the biggest strengths is that ongoing relationship and professional development for you, the teachers, taking that wherever you can throughout your careers, and improving the outreach and broader impacts of the science projects that are supported by the National Science Foundation and NASA. So I'll leave that slide there. And one other piece that you might not be aware of just yet is that we do have some limited monies for travel support. And this would be pre or post expedition. We mentioned it a little bit on our interview calls. But there is some funds for teachers to go to research labs or for researchers to visit the classrooms. I know that Elizabeth Webb is heading out to see Tom Wayne up in Vermont in a couple of days to get an idea of what Tom is doing up there in the field, in his classroom, his field, and being able to see what they can do to take that collaboration even further. So let us know if you're interested in getting together before the expedition or after. It's really beneficial for people to get together before the expedition and kind of hammer out those pieces of maybe the teacher-researcher networking plan, or getting to know some of the equipment that will be used out in the field and getting to know one another. Of course, there's also workshops and conferences that are happening, and you can definitely let us know if you're interested in participating in those together. So let's see. Oh, Seth, I'm seeing you're talking about the webinar. And do we just direct them to the Polar Trek webpage for webinars? Yeah, so we're going to be doing webinars with our teachers, and we'll talk a lot about it at orientation. It'll be just like this kind of a platform. and we'll be sending out reminders to folks, and if you have any contact lists that we should send information to, we can do that as the expeditions get going. What about student field trips, Ken's asking. Would it be easy to take students to the University of Maine to see cold storage, of course? That is possible, and we can sort of support you or a piece of that field trip. So, Ken, whatever your heart desires, give us an idea of what you're up to, and we'll see what we can do to support as much as we can. All right, so look, we've gotten a little bit further here into questions. So I will open it up to folks. We can do this one of two ways. If you want to ask questions in the chat box, we can do there. And if you'd like to ask a question live and not have to type the whole thing, you can raise your hand, which is right above the list of participants. So I'll see if anybody raises their hand. I'm going to read this question here from Oben. Ah, the press release. Good question. So I have been working on the Polar Trek press release, and Obed, I'll get that out to you as well as the other teachers. It's kind of an overview of our program as well as kind of a general synopsis of what some of the expeditions are doing to show the breadth of our work. So I'll get that out to everybody as soon as I can. I'll put it on my list for this week. Seth, I see you. Oh, permafrost tunnels. You're going to be talking about the field trip idea. Erin is asking, is there a plan to take teachers to the permafrost tunnel during orientation? That's something up here just north of Fairbanks. There's research being done on permafrost in what's called the permafrost tunnel. And, yes, we do often take teachers out on a tour of the permafrost tunnel. And that's actually, that picture of Janet and I is in the tunnel. So, yes, we'll try and do that. If there's additional questions that are coming up, go ahead and type them down. Let me let you know that we are trying to work on our orientation agenda. Teachers are currently working with Julie Griswold to determine their travel. I know we have some researchers that are here in Alaska, so we'll contact you soon to see if you'd like to attend some of orientation. And researchers are welcome to attend. We don't have funds in our grant to support research travel, but we do support all of the teachers. So you are welcome to attend, so let us know.
Hey, Sarah. Janet, yep. Just to let you know, I'm here on the phone, but I'm not on the Internet anymore.
Oh, okay. Thanks. All right. And Alicia's asking about interviews for local papers. She's actually had a few. And do we want copies of media pieces? Absolutely. So there's one or two things you can do. You can send it to us now. Send us the link of wherever you've been interviewed and what have you. And you can hold on to them yourself. Once we have your project pages set up, we will be able to link those media stories to your, basically, your project page. So as people are reading your journals and finding out about the project, they can scroll down and see some of the local media that's been coming out. So definitely send us any of the media that you've been a part of. Always request to see it from them as well, just to make sure it's accurate and getting out there. Again, I'll send that press release to all of you. All right, Ken's asking a question about gear. Hold on one second. He's asking about glacier travel and gear questions. So when you get to those questions about gear, we talked about it in your interview calls, you don't have to supply all of your own gear. We work with CH2M Hill or Polar Services, and they help us to give the gear to you that you might need. So folks heading up to Tulik Field Station, for instance, might need mosquito headgear and a jacket. That kind of stuff we will be able to work with you. So Robbie Score is the name of the person that helps us with that for Arctic folks, and we'll have a new contact for Antarctica pretty soon. And when we are getting closer to your expeditions, they will contact you and kind of get the ball rolling. And then when we have our pre-field call, your contact person will be on the call for logistics, and we'll make sure you've got everything you need. Mark is asking if there's a brief orientation agenda. Good question. We are going to be covering lots of stuff. So basically it's, let's say, about 8 to 5, every day with a lunch break in our hotel. And the orientation is held right in the hotel as well, so it's pretty easy to get to. But we will be, let's see, I can't say what it'll be on each day yet, but we're covering all the technical things about journaling online. We'll talk about these Polar Connect events or webinars. We will try and have a few field trips here and there as we get going. But there's, and we'll do safety in the field, logistics, all kinds of different things, camera and movie training. But I don't have the brief orientation agenda yet. Let's see.
I bet we'll have we'll have a couple of group dinners, and each show will also be free. I know some of you have research team members, so you'll want to meet up with them, and you know, we can work with all those kinds of things as well. So we will probably have a draft out here in a couple weeks, but it won't be the finalized one that we can send to everybody.
Yeah. Mark, if you have any particular questions, just email us and we can do our best to answer it. Obed is asking about gear that would be needed to go to Antarctica, and we will be working with you, Obed, on making sure that you have all the gear that you need. So it might be something that we can get to you ahead of time, but when you get to, when you begin to deploy to Antarctica, you'll be getting to a spot where we'll be able to get gear. So that will probably be in Christchurch, New Zealand, and they have all the gear that you will need for an Antarctic expedition there. So we'll go through all those steps with you ahead of time.
Yeah, about the steps for Antarctica in particular, that we, as Sarah already mentioned, during orientation, we devote a significant amount of time for you to meet with people that have been to Antarctica, and will either have a person from Lockheed Martin, or they'll call in or something that will be able to give you a step-by-step what the process is, because before you even get gear, you have, there's a whole bunch of other steps, like you got to get medically qualified and all that other kind of stuff. So we'll go through all of that at orientation, and then again, just before you deploy, we'll go into the specifics with your researcher and the logistics provider. So you'll get lots of time to learn about gear and how many pairs of socks and all that kind of stuff as we go through this process.
Great. I'm looking through the comments here to see if we missed any questions. But again, if something comes up and you're just curious about it, please feel free to email us if you just want to know a little bit more about orientation, or have a question about your expedition, or about communicating with your research team or researchers, if you want to ask questions about, you know, how to begin that process or what your teachers need to know. Anytime, just give us an email or a phone call. Anybody want to ask any questions live, or we're doing okay? I see some typing happening. I'll give you a second. One thing I can say as well at this moment is that teachers, again, you've been talking to Julie about travel, and in the evening tonight I'm going to send out one more email for you, and it will be about technology. So it'll have, it's a survey, and I'll send you the link, and it's a quick way for us to understand kind of your technology capabilities, what kind of computers or cameras that you've been using in the past, so that we can figure out what the best setup is for you for potentially having a Polar Trek computer and camera out in the field. We're going to need to get that survey back within about a week or so, so I'll put a deadline out there for you in the email. But it's a pretty easy survey, but give us as much information as you can about what systems that you've been using for computer technology specifically.
Yeah.
All right. Seth was just working on a question, but he's got an answer, it seems like. About the technology. Yeah, some of you may be out in the field using satellite phones or other means of communication. We have logistics folks that we work with for satellite phones and things like that, so remote communications. We're busy figuring that out as we go. right, a few more people are typing, so we'll see what happens. Janet, any other things you want to add?
No, I think at this time, you know, just realize we're throwing a lot of information at you. We know this, and there's a lot to digest, and we don't anticipate that you're going to all get it, you know, the next 24, 48 hours or even the next couple of months. It's okay if you miss something or you are unsure about something, just like Sarah's already said, you know, give us a call and say, I didn't get that. I don't understand it. I need this, or how do I handle this? So, you know, there's a lot coming at you, and, you know, we said this would happen. Once you got selected, it was a fast track. And one thing we have that's different from the other orientations is that this orientation is actually a little bit later, so it does give us some time. The disadvantage is there are some of you leaving in April and even May, and that time frame is going to come up really quicker than you anticipate. So if you're in that scenario, Sarah and I are going to try to get you on a reasonable but fast timeline to do things, in particular practicing technology and working with your research team and things like that, so that you're all ready to go, actually probably before you even come to orientation. So anyway, that's just kind of like a warning for you, those of you that are leaving in April, that some things are going to be coming faster at you than others and kind of out of sequence. But we'll hopefully make it through it all okay.
Any questions from folks that are on the phone? All right. Well, I think we've got most of the questions online answered. Again, this webinar will be archived, so we'll have a PDF of all the slides, and then audio will be attached to a video of the slides, so you can check that all out as you need to. And yeah, we are really looking forward to orientation. It's like a jumping off platform from winter to, I guess you'd just be able to call it spring up here. Yeah, and I'm much warmer now today, Janet, talking to all these folks. It's 40 below, but I feel better.
Yeah, good. All right, well, I got to say thank you and sign off myself since I have a computer person at my house. So.
All right,
I'll leave it to you. Thank you, everybody.
Take care, everybody.
Bye, thank you.